from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia.
No, that's not fair, and I'm guessing that executive will be looking for work soon rather than later if that's his analysis of Josh Allen. To call him one of the more overrated quarterbacks is asinine, in my opinion.
Mike Danger.
It's a celebration. We're going to celebrate, pal. Happy football. It's here.
Football! Football, yes!
Gene Battaglia.
Josh Allen, you know, good that he's relaxing, having some fun at Tahoe, shooting baskets. I don't know if you saw that, but what can Josh Allen actually do to be better this year to get to the Buffalo Bills where they need to be?
95.7 FM and AM 950 The Fan, Rochester.
We welcome you back into the Sports Bar. It's Danger and Battaglia. We'll go across the pond and discuss the Open. Brian Cozio, Tita Green, going to stop by here in less than 20 minutes. We appreciate your calls at 866-4326. That's 585-866-4FAN. Remember, we sound our best in the free-to-download Odyssey app or on your smart device when you ask it to play 95.7 The Fan. And if you're watching along in the video stream right now, our YouTube channel, The Fan Rochester, also streaming on Twitch. We appreciate that as well.
I was listening to Rome, and Romy still has it today. And Jim Rome talking about the situation in Chicago, how, wait a second, not only is Rome Odunze not signed, Caleb Williams isn't signed. And wait, Caleb Williams, he has somebody he's working with, but that person isn't representing him. And it was a lot of convoluted, and camp is opening up. Bears fans are worried. And the way Romy laid it out, I'm like, whoa, danger. And I come in, I'm like, Danger, what do you think about this? Don't worry, everything's going to be fine. You can work me up. Sure enough.
Everything's fine.
Both guys signed.
Now, I don't know who represents Rome Odunze, but I know that Caleb Williams, that was the big story, right? Like, he doesn't have NFLPA-approved representation, so the team can only negotiate with Caleb Williams. And it's like, according to the reports, I guess Caleb Williams had his lawyers, he's got lawyers, had his lawyers look at his contract and signed the deal.
Well, that's always the confusing part is, why don't more players actually kind of use this loophole, right?
That's a great question.
Yeah, because you're not, what are you negotiating? This is what you're due to make.
It's yes, your rookie deal is fairly standard across the board, right? So you're right. What is exactly the thing, the pitfall that you're worried about here? I mean, if you don't perform, yeah, they can move on from you. That's all a contract does is protect. It doesn't protect the player. It protects the team.
No, the only, and I say new CBA, it's not new. It's been here since 2011. But way back when, this was always a knockdown, drag amount. It would be a story. Oh, gosh, we got our first-round pick signed before camp. This is awesome. Quite often, you were conditioned to having these holdouts going to camp. And finally, the owners are like, no, we're done with this. And that was an easy thing they could give for the concession of the players. Like, hey, do you want the money going to the guys in their second contract? Or do you want Sam Bradford getting handed $100 million? And that was the last really rookie that got it handed that much money. The only guy I can recall actually holding out was, now, which of the Bosa's was it?
It was Joey Bosa.
It was a Joey Bosa from the Chargers. And it was something over the timing of a bonus payment.
Right.
Can you imagine that? You're going to get the money. Hey, I want it in October. No, we're going to give it in November. Holding out.
Offset language, whatever it is that makes a rookie say, yeah, I'm not ready to sign that yet. But it is the first day for the Bears and for the Bills and for, what are we saying here? Maybe six other teams. I think a total of nine teams total today that have their rookies reporting to camp. So if Roma Dunze and Caleb Williams are showing up to Hallis Hall today to sign their deal and to start the process of being a professional NFL player.
Yeah, and if you're thinking, hey, let me just go over to Fisher's campus. Uh-uh. Sorry, we're rookie camp going on. McDermott, Bean, they're all here already.
Yeah. It's here. It's almost here.
Yeah.
We'll be there starting a week from tomorrow. Live shows, interviews with players, Brandon Bean, hopefully. I mean, we don't want to break the streak. We've talked to Bean, I think, every year,
yeah. Camp,
so that will be a lot of fun. Looking forward to our annual conversation with the Bills GM, and that'll be, again, starting a week from tomorrow, live from St. John Fisher University. Don't hit me. And those are the
famous... What, me to you? I'm not going to hit you.
Famous last words made by a United flight attendant, Gino. I don't know if you saw this story.
I did, and was happening right as we were getting off the air, and I couldn't make heads or tails of it. It just seemed a little too, all right, so now we have more info on this?
Yes, we have some color. Terrell Davis was attempted to, they attempted to arrest him after a recent flight. He was with his family.
Terrell Davis, former Bronco running
back. Yes, Hall of Famer. And he said he tapped a flight attendant's arm to try and get his attention. The flight attendant accused Davis of hitting him. And when the plane landed, law enforcement got on board. So the flight attendant made a big deal out of this and made sure that when we landed, this guy was going to be taken care of. Now, again, Davis traveling with his wife and three kids, traveling with his family. Mm-hmm. And I think he was just trying to get some ice cubes or some ice from the flight attendant who said, "Don't hit me." And as soon as he gets off the plane, he's in handcuffs, and they removed him from the flight because of the flight attendant's accusation. Now United has since apologized. The flight attendant is now no longer with United. I kind of like this story, Gino. In hockey, embellishment is a 2-minute minor, and I'm happy to see that it can result in a penalty in real life as well.
Wow, so they've already determined that this flight attendant was a little too eager to be jumpy there.
Soft.
Would you consider it rude, though, tapping some... I have seen this. People do this to servers. Don't do that. Like, tapping somebody on the shoulder. Like, excuse me. It's not... It can be rude, but it's not a crime.
It wasn't a shove.
No.
It wasn't a forearm shiver. It wasn't a clothesline across the neck. I imagine it was a tap on the shoulder or a tap on the arm that probably triggered the flight attendant because it was coming from a former NFL player.
Well, where were the other two attendants? Like, aren't they... Shouldn't they have been talking down the one? You're making a. This is going to end really, really bad for you if we have to land this plane. And
yeah, I just think. Yeah, I like that the flight attendant is getting a 2-minute minor on this one.
Embellishment.
Yeah, you're taking a little bit of a dive.
Can we get embellishment in soccer?
The Euros and the
embellishment.
The Copa ended this weekend. No more embellishing.
No more. Two of her favorites getting married this October, Monica and Joy. We wish them well. Saw them both last night.
This is Joy Kipchoge.
Joy Kipchoge.
Yeah.
Who, listen, he was our guy. Like, for the Paris Olympics, was in the U.S. trial down in Orlando back in February. You know, very difficult to make. But they're going to begin their life together. It's time for the Bachelor and Bachelorette party. Danger. Mm-hmm. The Bachelorette party of Monica actually has a theme. A Bills-related theme. Single life to mafia wife. Monica and her bridesmaids are heading to Austin, Texas, where they will be wearing Buffalo Bills jerseys and hitting the town.
Nice.
The Destination Bachelor Party, Destination Bachelorette Party. Like, hold on, time out. When did this become the thing?
It's always been a thing.
Really?
Bachelor
destination? I mean,
destination bachelor parties, I feel like, have been a thing forever. So if the destination bachelor party is a thing, then why not a bachelorette party as well?
Because I would think that you would want more people at, you know, just invite everybody. It's like a big party. Like the day, I don't know what you had. Basically, it was like, okay, yeah, let's have dinner, and we're going to go to the bar, and then we're going to go over to the tally ho and call it a night.
That was your bachelor party?
It was actually, tally ho didn't exist at that point. It was Canada at that point.
Oh, so. You went north of the border.
Right.
You went to the ballet. Mine was a booze cruise. We rented a boat on Canandaigua Lake, and we just went out on the lake. We drank beers, we played cards, we smoked cigars, we went back to the sandbar, and we drank our faces off. And I got poured into a car and driven home, I believe, by my bride-to-be. I believe Sandy was the one who actually met up and made sure, yeah, you're getting home in one piece. And it was great. It was a great time. We had a blast. I'm sorry I don't have any more like salacious details to share. That's really what it was.
Yeah.
And with her, I think it was just her and a handful of her friends just going out and having fun. Like, but I have friends who've done destination bachelor parties in Puerto Rico, invited I was a groomsman in a wedding. He's like, hey, we're all going to Puerto Rico. Are you in? And I bowed out of that one. I feel kind of bad that I did that. But, you know, I'm still in the wedding. I'm still, you know, one of the groomsmen.
Well, Monica, kind of breaking, because if you had to say the Bachelorette, it's Nashville, right? That's kind of where everybody heads to.
Yeah.
Austin, that would seem like it's a fun
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that better. In fact, I think Monica is right on here, because I think Nashville is tired, and I think Austin is wired. I think that's where you want to go. If you're doing a Bachelorette party, and you don't want, because now Nashville, that's just got, it's all it is. If you walk around Nashville now, just nothing but bachelorette parties and just people, you know, drunk tourists everywhere. And I'm sure it's a blast, but nah.
Nope.
Austin feels like the move.
Okay. Tired and wired. Are we tired of Vegas for a bachelor party? Because that's not where Joey Kipchoge's going.
Where's he going?
He's going to go whitewater rafting just outside of Montreal.
Pretty cool.
And then staying in Old Town Montreal.
Pretty cool. Yeah, I like that. That's outdoorsy. That's an adventure.
That's him, yeah.
That's, you know, you could still, you know, bring your own and party up a little bit. I'm fine with that. I'd also be fine with anybody that says, yeah, I want to go to Vegas. That's where I want to. Good. Go. Have fun, man. Like, you if you do it right, you never have to do it again. And you might as well live it up. You know, you're preparing for what should be the best day of your life. It's the day that allows you to do all the other things that you get to experience when you have a family, with whether you have kids or what, you know, like, it's just, yeah, I still say it all the time. Wedding day was the best day of my life, hands down. Celebrating with friends and family, the people that are closest to you, and there's nothing negative about it. It is the best day of your life. So why not lead into that by doing whatever you want? Go have a good time.
Of course, we didn't know one another, but I picture your wedding just being radio Goombas everywhere.
It was a combination of, okay, so I'll take me back a little bit here. Blue Heron Hills.
Okay.
And we had a DJ, and you had some radio people, some coworkers. You had some music industry people, a handful. You had some of Sandy's family, Italian. You had some of my family, Spanish. When I say Spanish, I mean like Spanish can't speak English.
Spain. Yeah.
They were dubbed the Spanish Mafia while they were at the wedding. Oh, here comes the Spanish Mafia. Really, it's just my aunts. It was my mom and all of her sisters, and all of them had, you couldn't take the smile off their face. Their smiles, they were just smiling all day, which again, you know, makes me happy.
Did you still have your father at that point?
Yeah.
Okay.
Both my mom and dad, the Spanish Mafia, my cousin who, you know, if I sounded a little bit short about the rehab conversation last hour when we were talking about the national anthem singer.
Yeah, I made a joke about it. Yeah.
I have a cousin who died at the age of 24 to addiction and was in and out of rehab, you know, for a good part of his young adult life and his teenage years as well. And so, and he was at the wedding. He was there, and we lost him shortly after he was at our wedding. So I know how tough that can be. And you know, the last thing I like is somebody saying, oh, well, I hear rehab is fun. Nah, it's not fun. Regardless, Yeah, that was so. That was the wedding. The wedding was you had Italian, you had Spain, and then you had a bunch of misfits from the music industry and the radio industry all intermingling together, and it was great. Like I say, best day of my life. My friends from Minnesota who made the trip made the most of their trip. I don't know if I'm going to get in trouble for admitting this.
Mm-hmm.
They admitted it to me only years after the fact, because for a good chunk of the reception, I'm like, God, where'd everybody go? Like, I know we're at a golf course and it's spacious and there's a lot going on, but where is everybody? Like, a handful of my Minnesota friends that made the trip just kind of vanished into thin air. They went out on the golf course, found secret places, private places. They got it on. I'm like, they admitted it to me. Like, yeah,
wow.
your wedding was great. We got it on the whatever the 17th hole or the 17th green. And I'm like,
wow, that's outstanding.
Well, I don't know if that's getting me in trouble with Blue Heron Hills, but I
no, it's changed ownership a bunch of times, so you're good on that.
They're none the wiser. But yeah, a good time was had by all. And, man, nothing but the best for our pals, regulars in the sports bar, talking about Monica and her fiance, Joey. We dubbed Joey Kipchoge. Unbelievable couple. They're just so damn adorable, man. Every time we see them, and you get to see them more often than I do, I marvel. I'm like, oh, they're great. Those two are awesome. They're going to be great together. Good times. One place where you can't get it on the green, I'm fairly certain, is the Open. I don't think... officials there.
Wow. Like Brian Koziol, he's been to so many of these events. We never asked him, has he been to the Open? Is this actually one he would like to go see? Or
a bucket list?
I just look at the weather there and it's like, nah, windy, cold. No, not for me.
We'll talk to Brian next and get his thoughts on this weekend's final major of the PGA Tour. Brian Koziol, the host of Tee to Green, stopping by the sports bar. You can pull up a stool at 866-4FAN, 866-4326.
You're listening to the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan Rochester.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
The Fan Rochester Sports Update.
Tonight, it's the Major League Baseball All-Star Game from Arlington, Texas. Paul Skenes, the Pirates, going against Corbin Burnes of the Orioles. Chris Brown has the interim tag taken off. He's the play-by-play announcer officially for the Buffalo Bills. Brown taking over for John Murphy. Bills rookies reporting today to St. John Fisher University. The first full team practice coming up Wednesday, the 24th. Chicago Bears signing both of their first-round picks, Caleb Williams and Rome Odunze. San Francisco wide receiver Brandon Ayuk has requested a trade. Sports is brought to you by GetMyPerks.com, where today you can save half off to Lasertron in Henrietta. For this and other great deals, log on to GetMyPerks.com today. Gene Battaglia, the sports leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan Rochester.
Meet or on the rocks. It's the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Sports Leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan, Rochester.
Golf goes across the pond this weekend. The Open Championship, Royal Troon Golf Club. We check in with our favorite Brian Koziel, the host of Tee to Green. You can hear him on our Odyssey Sports sister station, WGR. Whenever we talk golf, we bring in Brian. And Brian, I always feel like the conditions are the thing that we talk about first when we're talking about the Open Championship. What are we hearing about this weekend?
I think it's going to be okay. The weather, we know, at the Open is always a story, which is fun to talk about. And I think, you know, I guess selfishly, when I'm watching the tournament on TV, I feel like I want at least one day of where the wind is whipping and the rain's going sideways and we get a little of the umbrellas and the rain gear and all that out. Because I feel like, you know, that's one of the unique pieces of this event. Not that it can't rain or be windy elsewhere, but it just looks great on TV for me. So just looking at it earlier from today, it looks like temps are going to be hovering around the low 60s. So in terms of it, it's not going to be frigid, but there are a chance of rain showers each day. So we could have some of that going through there. But as of this moment, nothing that I've read have seen that it looks like there's going to be any sort of like just, you know, hurricane or rain that could possibly stop play as of this point. So maybe just kind of the normal weather that you get in Scotland over this time of the year in July.
Yeah, it's a rotation, as we know, for the most part, for the Open. In this year's turn, Royal Troon, 10th time Royal Troon has hosted. So, Brian, what can you share with us about this course?
Well, yes, it's amongst the group that rotates around. The last time it was here at Troon was 2016, and it was a memorable one. It was where we saw the epic two-man battle in the final day with Henrik Stenson and Phil Mickelson. And the conditions that day were gorgeous. And both players, ironically enough, shot matching 63s, and Stenson ended up holding on to beat Mickelson in what was probably one of the more epic kind of one-on-one two-man battles that we've had in recent memories at a major. You know, I know we were just talking at the U.S. Open about it coming down to Rory and Bryson, that we haven't had really like that epic one-on-one almost turning into match play sort of thing. We haven't had that in a long time in a major. Probably the best one that we've had at the Open Championship in recent memory was the last time that it was at Troon. You know, in terms of its difficulty level, I would say this one maybe ranks kind of in the middle. It's not Carnoustie, where, you know, if you ask golfers like of the courses in the rotation, which one's the toughest, I would think 9 out of 10 of the pros are going to say Carnoustie. And it's not maybe the easiest. Like, St. Andrews is usually going to be the one. We know that's where all the history is, but that one is where scoring, you know, can be really, really low if the conditions are aligned. So this one's kind of in the middle. Being in Scotland, too, I think, you know, you're going to get great support as you would anywhere else. But I think this one probably, in terms of the difficulty level, somewhere probably in the middle of what we see on that RNA rotation for this event.
And no surprise that Scottie Scheffler is the favorite going in. He's been remarkable this year. Really, really an unbelievable run that he's been on this season. Do you like Scheffler's chances here at picking up this major here at Royal Troon?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I would be an idiot to say that I don't, right? I mean, he's won almost every time he's played in a big event this year. Think about this. If there is no, you know, crazy, incident with him getting arrested at Valhalla. He could be going for his third major this week, beyond the fact that he's won the Players' Championship, beyond the fact that he's won three other outstanding elevated fields event, his last start with the Travelers' Championship win. So he hasn't played competitively in 3 weeks, going into this week almost four by the time it gets going. So is that maybe the only thing, if you said, hey, give me a reason for Scheffler to maybe have a bump in the road this week and not have a chance to win? I guess I'm grasping at straws. I'll go ahead and say the fact that he hasn't played in a competitive tournament in 3.5 weeks. That's the only thing. And again, I'm grasping for it here. Scheffler has had a dominating season, one of the best that we've seen since the heyday of Tiger Woods. So to think that he can't be involved in this tournament in terms of chance of winning, like I think that would be silly for me not to say.
Yeah. We're talking to Brian Koziel, your host of Tee to Green. We'll ask him about the Sabres, but we still have more golf questions here. And Brian, every time we've had you on over the years, you know, ultimately it goes to the Tiger question. And first of all, let me read the quote from Colin Montgomery, and then I don't think, at least you tell me the reaction here from Tiger Woods. We'll play the quote from Tiger today, where Colin Montgomery basically said, hey, what the hell is he doing? It's time to retire. Aren't we there? I thought we were past there. This is Colin Montgomery telling the Times of London, there is a time for all sportsmen to say goodbye, blah, blah, blah. Okay, that's his opinion. This was Tiger Woods when asked about that today.
Well, as a past champion, I'm exempt until I'm 60. Colin's not. He's not a past champion, so he's not exempt. So he doesn't get the opportunity to make that decision. I do. So when I get to maybe at his age, I can still make that decision. Well, he doesn't.
But Brian, I love that reaction. That might be the most personality we've ever seen out of a Tiger at the podium.
I love it. And he's right on. And Tiger has done so much for golf that guess what? When he gets to 60, if he wants to play, guess who's going to give him an exemption? The RNA. He's got one for life on the PGA Tour with elevated events. We know that the Players Board voted on that a few weeks ago. Yeah, he's in for life for Augusta National. My guess is if the USGA and the PGA of America, if they get any sort of sense that Tiger Woods would like to play in their event, and his exemption status has run out on paper, I'm guessing that someone will be on the phone within seconds to invite him to play. Look, okay, Tiger is, we know, one of the, you know, Mount Rushmore faces of golf, and in our lifetime, probably the most influential of anybody. I think it's easy to argue that he's the greatest player ever. I mean, I can go on and on and on about Tiger. I'm sure all of you could here. So why, you know, for Colin Montgomery to say that? No, Colin Montgomery was a good player and had a very respectable professional career. I know that he's a paid commentator now. Like, part of his job is to commentate and analyze golf. I think for him to maybe say what he wanted to say, I would have worded it differently. You know, I think it's fair to say, hey, you know, Tiger's physical limitations right now just keep him from what we think realistically are giving him any sort of chances of winning. Like, I wonder, is he enjoying golf still? I wonder, like, does he come out here truly thinking, like, hey, I'm enjoying this experience, I'm taking it in, all that sort of stuff. I think his point could have been made in a way where maybe it didn't come off the way it did. But for him to just flat out saying, like, what is he doing out here? Like, I have no problem with how Tiger responded. In fact, I found it pretty funny for how he was ready to go, and I'm sure Tiger was probably prepared for that question, and his answer was perfect.
Brian, so help me out with this, because you just went on about Tiger, and I think most golf fans look at what he does and view him as the best, one of the best ever, if not the best ever, and we love the way he did it, and you know, there were ups, there were certainly downs, but through it all, he's kind of persevered, and he's still out there, and he's still hacking away at it. I think what Scottie Scheffler is doing is remarkable. And I also think it's incredibly boring and not necessarily great for the sport. And I don't know that I'm the only one that thinks that way, Brian. So help me just try to figure out in my own head why I can't view what Scottie's doing the way I viewed what Tiger did, if that makes sense.
Okay, well, I think that's probably a fair question. I think immediately maybe the comparison goes to, like, separating the season from Tiger's career. I don't think anybody, including yourself nor I, are we saying that by comparing the season of what Scottie Scheffler is doing, that we think Scottie Scheffler is anywhere remotely close to the career and the accomplishments of what Tiger Woods has done. On paper, on the calendar, what has he done so far? Is it comparable to what Tiger did in the early 2000s? I think it is in some sense. There's an argument to be made maybe pro and for what Scheffler is doing this year. The for is that you could say, well, golf is even deeper than it was when Tiger was playing. So the fact that Scheffler is able to do this right now is impressive. But then I'll flip it right away and say, well, Tiger didn't have the LIV Tour at that time where top players in the world have exited off to the side and are playing in different events. Scottie Scheffler, in some of these wins, has not had to face Bryson DeChambeau, has not had to face Jon Rahm, has not had to face Brooks Koepka, has not had to face Cam Smith. So maybe we could sit here and say, well, the PGA Tour field is a little bit more watered down at this moment, so maybe these accomplishments aren't as impressive. I feel like I could argue either side because I think the fields are as deep as they ever been. I'm thinking the quality of play at the bottom of the PGA Tour and maybe on the Korn Ferry Tour is still better than maybe what the 50th ranked player was in the world when Tiger was doing this 25 years ago. So I feel like I could argue both sides on that. In terms of just the charisma, the entertainment value, how he's winning it, it's definitely, I think, a difference in that aspect. We were so entertained by how Tiger played. We were so in awe of how he played golf in a different manner. Scheffler, let's face it, he plays kind of boring, and he's not a guy that's going to pump his fist way up in the air. He's not a guy that's going to give us that fierce competitive look on the tee that we all were looking at and saying, man, this guy is as good a competitor as anybody in any sport. Like, there's a little different in terms of just how they carry themselves that maybe makes us feel that way, because at the end of the day, we can be awed by Scheffler's golf and his accomplishments, but at the end to say, like, man, was that fun to watch? You probably will never get it to the level that Tiger did.
Brian Colziola, host of Tee to Green. Boy, you brought up DeChambeau, and last time we spoke was after the last major, and it's funny how some of the narratives have completely flipped coming out of that, meaning, hey, in Rochester, we love Rory, and then we see what's going on in his personal life, and then, well, we see him actually kind of, the gentleman's game for him to peel off, that left a bad taste in a lot of people's mouth. He commented on that the first time. So I guess my question here is about Rory, and where do you think he is at right now with the way he's handled things in the last couple of months, and how you like his chances coming up this week?
Thought it was interesting the exchange that McIlroy said that he and Tiger Woods had when Rory was talking about missing those putts at the end of the U.S. Open and how heartbreaking it was for him. He said Tiger had reached out to him, but they changed. I don't know if it was Tiger changed his phone number or Rory changed
his number. Rory changed his number, yeah.
Yeah, and they didn't get actually connected on it. But then Rory, I guess, reached out to Tiger and just asked him. He said, I kind of had this discomfort feeling a little playing down there, and then a reporter asked Tiger, like, hey, have you ever had that feeling? And Tiger actually said yes, and he said part of what made it so great for me is that he said, like, I wanted to overcome that feeling too, beyond the fact of winning the tournament. So Tiger could have went the other road and said, nope, like, I was focused all the time, I never felt the pressure. No, he admitted too that, hey, I get that, you know, I guess Rory used the word discomfort, but let's face it, it's nerves, it's discomfort, it's apprehensiveness, it's everything that we feel when we're playing a sport where we feel pressure. So I thought both for Rory and for Tiger to talk about that this week, it kind of made them feel a little bit more human in the sense that, look, you know, Rory definitely has that cloud hanging over him, that monkey on his back right now with the fact that he hasn't won a major. He knows he's going to be asked about it every single time the majors are played until he wins one, and now it's going on a decade plus. Here's why I think McIlroy sometimes still gets maybe a little bit too much criticism than maybe he should. Unlike other players that have gone through major droughts, while the droughts have happened, their game has suffered. They've fallen out of the rankings. They haven't won. I could go ahead and throw a current player on that level. Maybe someone like Jordan Spieth. His game has been struggling. He's been tough. We know David Duval was number one in the world, fell off and never got it back. Through this decade of Rory not winning a major, Rory has never, ever dropped out of the top five. He has had every single season where he's won at least once. In fact, if you look at the last 5 years, he's won multiple times on both tours all over the world. So I don't think that it's not Rory saying that he's not a good player or that his game is off. I think it's right there. He's had a chance to win so many majors here over these last dozen or so. He's definitely got to overcome something, though, mentally to get himself past this. He said it took him a couple of days to get himself over the U.S. Open. I loved what he said today. He goes, I went and walked the High Line in New York City. He goes, I just wanted to walk. And he goes, I was out there, he goes, kind of with the herd of everybody else just going about their day. And he goes, nobody was bothering me. And he goes, I kind of felt just like the rest of the world, like, hey, nobody else here that's walking on this High Line right now with me. He gives a, and he used an S word, that gives a whatever that I missed a putt at the U.S. Open. So he's like, I got to let it go too. So I kind of love that frame of mind. I thought he played well this week at the Scottish Open, finished tied for fourth, had a chance to win going into Sunday. So I think his golf game is still great. I do think he's going to win a major here upcoming. He could win this week. I mean, if you said, you know, give me one player to pick this week, I feel like you could give me a coin flip between Scheffler and McIlroy. I still think his game is that good right now. So I'm rooting for him because I think he's a great ambassador for golf. I like how he's open and honest with media. We always want our athletes to kind of let us in to what they're feeling like, and he does that. So I'm rooting for him. I hope he has success this week.
All right, Brian, so you said coin flip between Rory and Scotty, and there are a couple of the favorites going into this weekend. What about a dark horse? You got somebody that has longer odds that you might think could step up and conquer the course this weekend?
All right, I'll give you two names. I was all excited this week because I knew you were going to ask me about it. I know when I go on with the guys on WGR, they're going to ask me about it. And I was all ready to go with Robert McIntyre and talk about how great it was that when I saw him at the Canadian Open and then he won. And then he went and won this week. And I'm like, well, not only is that not a dark horse pick anymore, but winning back-to-back weeks with how he says he was going to celebrate that Scottish Open win, I don't know if I want to go down that route anymore, even though I think he's playing outstanding golf. Two names that are kind of down the board that I would say haven't won a major yet. I'll give you one kind of mid-range name. Sahith Sagala has been playing very well as of late, tied for fourth last week at the Scottish Open. He's been up and down at majors, but I feel like because he's such a creative player, he's a guy that says, I'm willing to try and hit all sorts of different shots. We know at the Open Championship venue, sometimes you have to maybe get creative, be willing to come out of whatever your best game is to try other things. So I kind of like Sagala as maybe my mid-range dark horse. And then way down the board, a guy who wasn't even eligible to play, but because of his strong finish last week at the Scottish Open got in, and that's Aaron Rye. He's been pretty hot lately on the PGA Tour. His last three tournaments, tied for second, tied for seventh, tied for fourth. He's a guy maybe a lot of you listening right now don't even know who he is. He wears two gloves, but Aaron Rye from England could be maybe the way down the board sleeper that I'll throw out there for you.
Last golf question for me, Brian. And last time we had you on, I remember, look, wait a second, you were hearing chatter that we could have an announcement finally after a calendar year of having some sort of resolution between the PGA and LIV in terms of merger. And here we are mid-July, and we're still status quo. Where are things at? What, if anything, do we know right now?
Yeah, I think, you know, the news that I was hearing about that, it was there, but now they're not fully ready to disclose it because they said, look, we were so terrible last time with talking about the agreement, how they didn't have details. They're not going to come out, I think, the PGA Tour with an announcement until every single I is dotted and T is crossed. They want to make sure everything is tightened up because they don't want to have holes poked in it. In terms of a timeline, it seems like it's gone on forever. I mean, we are what, a year plus? The last year's Canadian Open, which would have been early June last year, is when we heard that there was an agreement. So now we're on, what, 13 months going, and we still don't have anything concrete in terms of an agreement. I think for golf, they have to get something nailed down this summer at some point. And I think all fans really just want to know, tell me how the best players in the world are going to get to play against each other. more than just four times a year. And every year that this goes on, without something being done about it, you're going to have less and less of those guys that people consider to be the best players in the world have a chance to compete together because their exemptions run out. Their world rankings are going to fall off. Their points are not going to drop, be eligible anymore. So the sooner the better. You know, I understand why it continues to get delayed, but man, for the golf world and for fans that want to see the best players play like we are going to see this week, the sooner the better for sure.
Brian, we haven't had you on since the NHL draft and free agency and the Sabres overhauling their bottom six. I'm curious to get just some of your thoughts on what the team has done so far this offseason.
Well, I'll start with the trades. I know yesterday I was playing in a charity golf tournament up in Toronto, actually, Zach Hyman's from the Oilers, his charity tournament. In my group, Carl Koliakovo, the former Leaf and former Sabre, was in the group. He hosts up Toronto Radio. We were talking, and he had said how, you know, Matt Savoy, that trade for Ryan McLeod for Edmonton, how he thought the Sabres took a lot of unnecessary grief through the media and with fans. He's like, look, that's a trade. He goes, you just have to make it if you're Kevin Adams. He's like, it's a player right now that's a player that's hard to play against, a younger player, and you need him to, he's going to step into your lineup right away. Now, Matt Savoy's got a lot of talent, but he goes, look, how many smaller, skilled, finesse players that maybe have a little injury proneness to them do the Sabres have in their organization? And he kept rattling off names one after another. I'm like, yep, they have a lot of those guys, including ones that are on the NHL roster. Yeah. So he goes, even if head-to-head, he goes, if you do the tail of the tape, these, you know, you would check off more boxes for Savoy than you would for McLeod. He goes, all that matters is this season right now for Kevin Adams. And I would say, to add on to that, in my opinion, if the Sabres essentially play status quo and don't make the playoffs or don't get themselves on the doorstep of the playoffs, if they do what they did last year and finish about a dozen points out, Kevin Adams is not even going to have another draft or another chance to make trades. So a trade like that is good. They had to rebuild the bottom six. They did that with acquiring a couple of other players. I like the Lafferty mood. He was a player that's tougher to play against. I think that that's kind of the theme of the Sabres bottom six there. How can we get guys that are tougher to play against that can maybe wear down our opponents a little? I think the Sabres, we know, have skill, but I don't know if another team really fears or at all finds playing the Sabres annoying in any capacity. We know their goaltending seems to be set. The defense with the trade they made for Bo Byram last year seems to be somewhat set. I still think a top forward that can help bolster their top six would be needed. They lost some goal production from Jeff Skinner. I understand the move to remove Jeff Skinner. You could definitely argue maybe he's on the backside of his career. He was a defensive liability. The goals, but still, he scored 25-30. Like, where is that going to be made up from? Are you just going to hope that Roseanne or Kulik or some of these guys like Benson are going to score more? That's what he did last year, that Kevin Adams, that he hoped that those guys would maybe just continue to springboard forward, and everybody either stayed where they were at or they dropped. So I don't know if just hoping that they're going to rebound is the best strategy for a GM whose life is on the line. If I'm him, I have to still make one more trade to get another player that can play in the top six and definitely improve the scoring, because that's what the Sabres didn't do last year, which was score. They actually got great goaltending. In fact, UPL in months of January and February put up numbers as good as like a Vezina goalie, and they lost all those games because they couldn't get that second goal. They couldn't get that game to overtime. They couldn't pick up those loser points, and they lost a lot of games 2-1, 3-2. And I like what he did with the bottom six with the improvement. I like the McLeod trade. There still, though, isn't a guy that was brought in, nor that's in the top six now, that's changed, that says to me, yep, that's the guy that can really help score that much needed goal. I still don't see that. I think he needs to do that still.
Brian Colziel, tee to green. Where are you guys at this weekend?
We are at Niagara Falls Country Club in Lewiston. It is the annual Porter Cup Amateur Tournament, and it's really a great event. The second year now that they're putting the men and the women together. They've got some of the top amateurs playing across the world. They've got over 100 players from a variety of countries coming in. Just for those that have never maybe heard anything about the Porter Cup, Tiger Woods played in it in 1994. He actually made a hole-in-one on the 12th hole at the course. They have a little plaque there for it. Phil Mickelson won the event in 1990. David Duval won the event in the early 90s. Current players that have played at the Porter Cup, Justin Thomas, Bryson DeChambeau, Brooks Koepka, Max Homa, Ricky Fowler, Adam Scott, so like Dustin Johnson. So all these guys have played in it. Brooke Henderson played on the women's side. So there's some really legit names. Here's one cool stat I saw when I was reading up on it. There's 93 current players that play in the PGA Tour, the LIV Tour, and the LPGA Tour that have played in a Porter Cup event at Niagara Falls Country Club. So if anybody in the Rochester area is just looking for something to do this week, it's free. It's at Niagara Falls Country Club Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and tee times start at 8 a.m. each day. They do split tees, so you get there, you'll be seeing golf all over the course. I know everybody up at Niagara Falls Country Club was inviting spectators, so if you're looking for something to do, you want to watch some of the best amateur collegiate players in the world, they'll be up in Niagara Falls this week, and we'll be doing a two-hour show because of that and also because of the Open Championship. So 7 to 9 on WGR and the Odyssey app.
Brian, it sounds awesome. Really appreciate you giving us some time setting us up for this weekend and sharing some of your insight on the Sabres as well. Let's do it again, bud.
Thanks, guys. Have a great week. Enjoy the Open.
Brian Koziel. You can hear him on Tita Green and the free-to-download Odyssey app on our Odyssey Sports sister station, WGR, and it's part of the Buffalo Sabres radio network.
Yeah, fun conversation with him, and we have time for your calls. Happy hour coming up, 866-4FAN.
Yes, absolutely. Well, we got to go back to what Tiger said to Colin Montgomery, too. That was just too good. I mean,
Is it take of the year worthy,
though? Ooh! All right, now we're talking.
No, I mean, as far as Tiger quotes,
one of his best,
like that was always a wrong bet. I like my chances, I like the court, like
he was robotic.
Yeah, this is not robotic.
Yeah, this is truly a stay down kind of quote from Tiger Woods. We'll get into that. We'll discuss a little bit more what we talked about with 13 WHAM sports director Mike Catalano as the Bills rookies report to St. John Fisher today. And we'll go around the NFL as well, pick up some other news and notes happening around the league. We got a run of shots. And last call, and as you mentioned, Gino, 585-866-4FAN, if you'd like to pull up a stool, 866-4326.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. 95.7 FM and AM 950. The Fan Rochester.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.